Ozone is associated with summer air pollution in populated places. Today in northeastern Utah, even within the city limits of Vernal, the air is clean. It's breezy, and Seth Lyman, an air quality expert with Utah State University, is explaining why almost everything here is backwards.
We have never had ozone exceedances in the summer unless there's really strong wildfire influence.
Cities all along the Wasatch Front watch for unhealthy levels of ozone cooking over hot asphalt in the heat of the day. But the Uinta Basin has spikes of unhealthy levels of ozone on the coldest days of winter.
Really, and I think more strongly than in Logan or Salt Lake, depends on snow cover. If we have adequate snow cover, then we get the inversions, and when the inversions are here, we're almost for certain going to have air quality issues. And when
there's an apocryphal story of an ozone monitor in Sublette County, Wyoming, that got left on all winter, and when the workers checked it in the spring, it had recorded levels of ozone that no one thought could happen in winter or in a rural area. Within a few years, the EPA started monitoring ozone in the rural West, where oil and gas development is happening, including the Uinta Basin, and they found that the Wyoming monitor wasn't a fluke. Winter ozone really is a thing. No one can deny the correlation between oil and gas development and the formation of winter ozone. But the complex chemistry that takes the precursor emissions from gas and oil wells and transforms them into harmful ozone hasn't been fully explained. Nor have the meteorological conditions that make this a wintertime problem. Mike McKee is the Uinta County Commissioner.
We've recognized the importance of the extractive industry. We also recognize the importance of having good, clean, safe air, and we believe that we can have both.
The Utah Office of the Bureau of Land Management issues the most permits of any state for new drill sites. It's clear that the goal for the state is to have its energy extraction and its clean air, too.
The Uinta Basin is really critical to the BLM as it relates to oil and gas. We want to continue to keep that focus, but in order for us to continue to keep that focus of permits to drill, we need to be able to address air quality.
Juan Palma is the director of the BLM in Utah. He's one of the signatories of a memorandum of understanding that would share the federal agency's research with Utah State University's Bingham Research Center in Vernal. Rob Bahunin, Vice President for Advancement and Commercialization at USU, signed for the university.
Adding to the practical and very pragmatic approach of helping a community, an industry, that's part of our land-grant mission of Utah State. That's what we're charged to do and have been charged to do since we were chartered back in 1888.
What USU is being given is a modeling platform developed by the BLM, 4 years and $1 million in the making. Leonard Hare is the BLM's air resource specialist in Utah.
It's like we're buying a Ferrari and then we're using it to drive down to the market every day. You know, we're not really using these models to their best potential. We expect USU to actually do that. We're giving them the keys to Ferrari and we want to see them roaring up and down the highway with this thing. You know, using these models to actually do planning level analysis that then BLM can look at and tier to in our documents and make reasoned management decisions off of.
The hope is that this expensive modeling equipment and this collaboration will be a blueprint for air quality management for federally managed lands throughout the West dealing with similar problems.
EPA is looking at lowering this ozone standard. If you look at a map of the potential non-attainment areas from this lowered ozone standard, we're going to see huge areas of the West that are declared non-attainment by EPA, and there is no existing methodology, Clean Air Act requirements, anything that addresses how to deal with that. And the way to deal with that is collaboratively, multi-jurisdictionally. We need everybody at the table, the feds, the states, the tribal governments, because we all contribute, we're all affected by it, and we're not going to solve it unless we, you know, come together to solve it.
The BLM can't do this on its own. USU can't do this on its own. No one can. The idea is that putting a bunch of heads together can result in an innovative answer to a multi-pronged question, the gist of which still eludes almost everyone at the table. Jennifer Pemberton, UPR News, Vernal.